Welcome back. This is Tammy Liu. We're going to have with us today Pastor Damon Lynch III from the New Prospect Baptist Church and the Cincinnati Black United Front. For some of you who may know, since 1995, there have been 18 black men who died in the hands of the Cincinnati Police Department. In 2001, the death of Timothy Thomas sparked a three-day rebellion of April in 2001. And just recently, Nathaniel Jones, who was in the hands of the police department, whose death in the hands of the police department was ruled a homicide, his heart stopped by the trauma of the beatings. And since, I understand, in 2000, we have had an economic boycott of downtown Cincinnati that's being called by the Black United Front. And with us today is Pastor Lynch. Hello, Pastor Lynch.
Hey, Tammy. Thanks for having me.
No problem. For those of us, can you please give us a sense of the conditions that shape life for the black community in Cincinnati, the very conditions that have led to an economic boycott, a call for an economic boycott, both national and international, of downtown Cincinnati?
Well, it's a dichotomy of conditions. You have 45% of Cincinnati is African American. You have some that are middle class and affluent and doing seemingly well. But then you have large pockets of poverty in the city of Cincinnati. We have communities like Over the Rhine, where I pastor, and where Timothy Thomas was killed in April of 2001, where the median income is $5,900. We have another nine communities that have been considered disaster areas where African Americans live, and the median income is $11,000. And so you have these tremendous pockets of poverty in this city. Cincinnati is the sixth most segregated city in America. And, of course, we've had these issues with police brutality dating as far back as at least 30 years. And we're still wrestling with the police and black community issues today. So coming out of April and the civil unrest that we had, and when Timothy Thomas was killed, he was the 15th African-American killed since 1995. Before him, there was a man by the name of Roger Owensby, Jr., who was choked to death by police in November of 2000. We decided to call an economic boycott on the city of Cincinnati, on the downtown, where we have Procter & Gamble, Chiquita Banana, and the Kroger Company all have their national headquarters and international headquarters, realizing that until we put some economic pressure on this city, nothing's ever going to change. We have spent time marching and protesting and praying and preaching, but not receiving any change. And so we realized that we could not continue to finance our own oppression by giving this city our dollars. So the boycott was called. It asked for entertainers and conventioners not to come to Cincinnati and spend their dollars and support us in our struggle for justice in this city.
So tell us about the boycott. What are the demands? What's the Black United Front hoping to accomplish? And who are your targets?
Again, the target is basically the power structure downtown to put economic pressure on the central business district of our city, which receives the lion's share of our tax dollars. And our main goal is for change in policing in our city. We want the chief of police fired. It's under his leadership that we've had these deaths, as well as numerous other egregious things that have happened under his leadership. We're also seeking some economic equity in our communities, as I said earlier, that are suffering from this severe poverty. Millions of our tax dollars are poured into downtown Cincinnati. We've built two new stadiums for professional ball teams that are privately owned. We've subsidized high-end department stores like Saks Fifth Avenue. We just subsidized the Kroger Company. And as we locally gave them $12 million, Kroger workers throughout the country from Los Angeles to West Virginia are on strike because they're being forced to pay more money for their health insurance and other things. We just gave another major corporation downtown $54 million called Convergys immediately after receiving $54 million of our tax dollars, they laid off 100 local workers and then hired 3,000 people in the Philippines. And so we need to put as much economic pressure, and so far our count has been close to $70 million of economic pressure that we've brought to bear on the city. Those are conventions and other things that have not come. It's had a $70 million impact, but yet we still haven't got them to sit down and talk with us and to address the issues of police brutality or economic disparities.
If I understand correctly, the City Council of Cincinnati is, there are five Democrats, two Republicans, and two independents who are part of the Charter Rights.
Right.
Where have they sided on this issue?
And they're all pro City of Cincinnati. There's been no empathy from our elected leaders. Regarding the police issues nor the economic issues. There are actually four African Americans, four out of nine are African Americans on council. With the latest death of Nathaniel Jones, not one of them has spoken up to say that this is clearly police brutality, that it's not just a homicide, but it's a homicide that somebody needs to be held accountable for. And so the electoral politics process has not served us well, and we really believe that we're going to have to withhold our dollars and ask people around the country not only not to come to Cincinnati, but when you decide not to come, let them know why you're not coming and support this effort, because the world has seen the Nathaniel Jones beating. The world saw the uprising in 2001, and they know that there's some serious problems in Cincinnati that are not just Cincinnati's problems. They're national problems. But Cincinnati can become and should become the Montgomery of the 21st century. And if we can make some real changes in Cincinnati, it'll be a good omen for the rest of the country.
Reverend Lynch, hi. This is Eric Mann. How are you?
Good, Eric. How are you doing?
Good. I think that there's a growing trend in our show and talking to people around the country, which is a lot of different very discouraging trends. One is the regression of white people in general.
Right.
In terms of any real anti-racist sentiment. I think there's been a tremendous deterioration over the last 30 years. There's been a growing ossification of the leadership of the black community.
Right.
And not yet the transformation at the base of a new black-led, Latino-led progressive movement, although there's some efforts now. I have a couple of questions. One is, I believe you're running for the city council, is that correct?
I ran for the city council.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that experience? How did it go, and what did you learn?
No, we made a late decision to run for an elected office, to be in city council. We ran 10th. Nine people received seats. We ran 10th. We lost by one half of 1%. It was a late race. We didn't raise the kind of money everybody else raised, but we ran an excellent race, and it was my first foray into electoral politics. And the goal was to have at least one elected voice who would say that Nathaniel Jones was killed by the Cincinnati police. So people would have one elected voice to say that the police chief needs to be fired. We don't have that elected voice, but we do have a pretty strong group of activists in our city and a pretty good group of progressives, especially a good group of white progressives. And I know you know a few of them here in our area. Tom Dutton is one.
That's right.
And there are others. We just still have a lot of organizing and work to do to be effective to really change some systems here in this city.
This is Eric Mann talking with Reverend Lynch in Cincinnati about the Black United Front and the continued pattern of police brutality. I'm here with Tammy Liu, the co-host, and you're on KPFK 90.7 FM. In terms of the latest beating of Nathaniel Jones and the almost continued murderous conditions, what's the next step for the boycott? I mean, sometimes, you know, in our work we have what we call campaigns within a campaign. The campaign goes on, but it has to reinvent itself, you know. So it's almost like Kroger has decided to push a strike with its workers, knowing it's going to lose some money, but deciding breaking their health benefits is worth it to them structurally. For the system, the beating of black people is unfortunately integral to the system, so they're not going to change it because that's what they do.
Right.
So what's the next step? Are there discussions going on about new tactical ideas building on the boycott, and where does it go from here?
There are discussions going on making the boycott more targeted, so it's not just the downtown, but it's possibly Procter & Gamble downtown or Kroger downtown, targeting one of these major Fortune 500 corporations, targeting some of their products, getting people around the country, around the nation to support that kind of boycott. You know, the boycott ebbs and there's ebbs and waves to it. And what happens here in the city is what happened in Montgomery, in the Montgomery bus boycott. When it seems like it's losing steam, the opposition gives you something else to keep going. And so thus was the beating of Nathaniel Jones. They continue to give you this tragedy, the way I see it, is a good opportunity to really make the boycott more effective, more targeted, the demand more targeted so people around the country can fully understand. I think everybody understands police brutality. The video speaks for itself. So we meet every week. Actually, I have a meeting tonight to decide, you know, what's our next target? How do we make this more effective? They're feeling the pinch, but they're not feeling it enough yet to come to the table and talk.
Well, it's interesting, you know, in terms of our own work with the taking on General Motors to try to keep the last auto plant open, or the excellent work, actually, that Juan Gonzalez at the Pacifica insurgency did by going after specific board members and making their companies pay. The community campaign with the Hormel workers, that they went off to specific banks that owned stock in Hormel. They couldn't get Hormel to move, but they had the next line and the directorate. For what it's worth in terms of some feedback, I think giving a face and a name to some of the enemies within Cincinnati, like Procter & Gamble, like Kroger, who are very vulnerable, sounds like a good idea to me, and I think it doesn't preclude the overall boycott.
Right.
But sometimes, you know, Nathaniel Jones has a name, but sometimes the enemy has to have a name too, besides capitalism.
And that's an excellent point. And we are that kind of insight that you give is much needed here. We have a lot of national support. Bernard Lafayette just left here and had major discussions with us on nonviolent social change. Bernard is the one who organized the Poor People's March on Washington in 1968. And I know you were here and Leanne was here before, but you're right. We do need to put a face on the target so people can be clear, and it will help us as well.
Well, thanks. This is Eric Mann and Tammy Lou, KPFK 90.7 FM. And Reverend Lynch, one of the things that we're going to try to do, if this is a pilot show that I think, you know, we hope will become a permanent show, is while we're going to have a lot of different guests, we want certain sort of key people that will be with us more often. So I think the Cincinnati story, as an example, is a real cutting-edge fight. And we don't think you're alone in fighting uphill. Everybody we're going to interview, nobody is saying, oh, yeah, we got rid of racism in L.A. We got rid of it in San Francisco. It's a national and international plague that's been here for, unfortunately, centuries, and it'll probably take centuries to get rid of. But we think the Cincinnati model and the Cincinnati story is one that we'd like to have as a sort of recurring theme on KPFK 90.7 FM. Thanks so much for being with us, and we hope we can stay in touch with you, that Tammy and I can keep this story going.
Well, again, so thank you to both of you, and we will continue the struggle here. We're determined not to give up.
So this is Tammy Bang Lu. We'll be right back with Cynthia Rojas and Jason Mark to talk about a week of action at the L.A. Auto Show. They're taking on the Big Five auto industries January 10th in Figueroa and Pico.
Come on, get up, stand up, stand up for your right.